The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
It's hour number two of the Bible study, the Ask the Pastor Hour. By the way, I neglected to mention this at the end of the previous hour. We continue in Deuteronomy tomorrow. We wanted to really load up Pastor John Lukomsky, so he's going to go from verse 15 of Deuteronomy 23 all the way through verse 15 of Deuteronomy 26. Put that guy to work. I think my math suggests that's about three full chapters of text there. Whereas Pastor Ron Rall had 14 verses today. See, that's just not fair, but that's how we discriminate. If you heard the first hour, then you'll understand all that. Pastor John Lukomsky tomorrow here on the Bible Study Program. And this hour, Pastor Matt Roglin, pastor at Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, is our guest. Also heard on Sunday mornings here on the radio, 8 o'clock service, right?
That's right.
Everything going well there?
Everything is going very well with that.
And who is this guy that you brought in here with you today?
Well, he is our 11th vicar in a row at Blessed Savior, the fifth gentleman that I got to work with, the pleasure of working with, Christopher Griffith from Oklahoma, and I had...
Is that all you know, Pastor? Just from Oklahoma?
I was going to give him a chance to jump in, but he just nodded his head, so I'm going to go
okay.
on.
All right. I don't have much to say at this point.
Okay, all right. So... what's a vicar?
A vicar is a...
All I know is from what I learned from the movies.
Oh, yeah. In England or something?
Yeah.
In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a vicar is really, I guess the quickest way to say it is a student pastor. Usually the third year of seminary is a year of internship, if you will, at a congregation in our synod where they will... learn hands-on about what it is to be a pastor. And then
it's a fun year, isn't it?
Yeah, I
challenging,
think so.
But a fun
well,
year.
So far it is.
Yeah. You got family?
Yes, I have a wife and I have two sons. One is 20 and lives in Tennessee. The other is 16 and lives with us here on seminary grounds.
So are you what we sometimes refer to as a second career?
I am. Pastor? I'm one of the old guys.
And what did you do before you entered the seminary?
I worked as an engineer at a company that manufactured heaters for different industrial uses.
Mm. All right. Well, come back in the wintertime because I could use a heater here. That's
not now, though.
Oh, no. If you got an air conditioner, then we'll talk after the program. Well, welcome to the program. Welcome to KFUO.
Thank you.
Glad you came in here, and maybe you can... hold Pastor Roglin's hand in the future when he comes in for Ask the Pastor programs.
Or maybe today, if you're going to have this Ask the Pastor be as tough as the first hour was with the regular Bible study.
Nothing, no. All right, here's what I want to talk about. This is a little story. I got a couple of stories here that I want to put together here and see if we can't come to some kind of conclusion. This is from ABC News website.
Okay.
The headline on this is Momzilla Berates Bride-to-Be. I don't know if you've... Are you familiar with the term Bridezilla?
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
What would you say is your understanding of the term Bridezilla? For somebody who said, what are these guys talking
well,
about?
Well, my understanding is a bride that wants everything her way and takes over control of the wedding, the minister or pastor or whatever has no say, and maybe it's somebody that is normally sweet and loving and caring, but then as soon as it's time for wedding time, they turn into a monster.
Have you ever seen a Godzilla movie, Pastor? Have you ever seen one?
Yes.
Because you're a fairly young guy.
Yeah, no, I've seen one.
Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to appreciate modern day special effects for science fiction movies, you got to go back and look at King Kong versus Godzilla.
There you go.
Because when you look at Godzilla, you say to yourself, well, that's a guy dressed up in a lizard suit. I mean, that's just, you know. And so they got him walking through a toy town and walking through high power energy lines and stuff like that. And back when I was a kid, that was really cool. But it is so lame now that I don't have words for it. But the one thing you knew about Godzilla was if he came through your town, there wasn't going to be anything left when he was done. And that's kind of the way the Bridezilla is with the wedding. She just plows through everything and sort of exalts herself in such a way that everything else is ruined in her wake. So now comes Momzilla. Let me just read a little bit of this to you. Searching for the perfect wedding dress is supposed to be a magical experience that women fantasize about from a young age. But when the bride is receiving insults from an overbearing mother, the dream becomes a nightmare. Bridezilla's please step aside. Momzilla is on the loose. Tensions can run high during the often stressful time before a wedding, leading to clashes between mothers and daughters. And Momzillas are not an uncommon sight, according to Ronnie Rothstein, who is the CEO and owner of Kleinfeld Bridal in Manhattan. We get a Momzilla in here every week, Rothstein said. When a mother comes in with a bride, you see all of the good and bad in the relationships. ABC News wanted to see how people would react to an over-the-top Momzilla berating her thin daughter in one of Manhattan's exclusive wedding salons. As a bride-to-be modeled her dream dress, Momzilla went on a verbal rampage. In the middle of the salon at Kleinfeld Bridal, Maria Regina, an actress hired by ABC News, yelled at another actress who played the part of her bride-to-be daughter. "I'm paying for the dress. I think I have a right to tell you what this dress looks like," she shouted. "Is that understood? I'm just telling you the truth. Do you want to hear what I have to say?" The reactions to the mother and daughter were varied, with most people showing sympathies to the bride while unwilling to confront the overbearing mom. According to Colgate University psychology professor Carrie Keating, emotional outbursts are the core makings of a true momzilla. It's an over-controlling, overly anxious, overly narcissistic, demanding mother of the bride who seems for some reason determined to ruin her daughter's day, said Keating. According to Keating, change is the primary cause of the discord. There is oftentimes conflict because the relationship between mothers and daughters is changing, said the professor. And the moms themselves are requiring some attention. What about them? They, in fact, are the ones, in a sense, being left behind. Now, as this goes through, describing these staged conflicts in this high-end bridal store, one of the things that they were studying was the reactions of the people who were watching it. And that's really my question for you, Pastor. Do you think that's an ethical thing? You're minding your own business. Maybe you're in the store with your own daughter, and suddenly you're in a very awkward and uncomfortable situation because there's a mother over here berating her daughter. In some of the cases that are described, you're bringing her to tears. Of course, they're both actors. And then you're being evaluated in this study as to whether you leave, whether you should confront, whether you should say to the momzilla, you know, this is really unfortunate the way you're behaving here. You're ruining our experience. You're certainly ruining your daughter's experience. Should people who are in the bridal store shopping for a gown intervene in a situation like that? Should Christian people, when they see somebody behaving like this, beating up the bride-to-be, should Christian people be moved to intervene? What do you think?
Well, I think that I would think that it would have to depend on the circumstance, but I think in some cases that we should intervene.
Really?
I think that being a standing up for people who are being attacked or reminding people of we make too much deal of ourselves in this society. Dr. Koshy, a retired professor from Concordia University, Wisconsin, he was the Common Core director and an organist and everything else. And in one of his classes, he mentioned to me that he would rather play for a funeral any day, play the organ, than a wedding, because too often you know, in a wedding, everybody wants it their way. The bride usually wants it their way, and the bride's mother wants it her way, and that kind of thing. Whereas in a funeral, they realize what this is. This is a worship service, and they're ready to hear the gospel. And too often in our world, we've turned this marriage thing and wedding thing into this is just a thing of the state and that kind of thing. I think sometimes I think it's appropriate to intervene. I think I'd be pretty upset if I found out that this was all staged.
Well, don't get ahead of me now.
Okay, okay.
That question's okay. Coming here.
Okay. But I think that there are times, depending on what's going on. I mean, if this is really unfair to the point of making me uncomfortable, I'd probably say something, you know.
It says here in the story, not everyone agrees that mothers know best. While Momzilla continued to berate her daughter publicly, people like Jennifer Green felt compelled to get involved and say something. Stick to your guns, honey, Green encouraged the bride. You're marrying the man that you love. Stick to your guns. In the midst of all the tension, an angel appeared in the form of Luli Walker, a New York City wedding planner, who felt for the distressed bride and offered her encouraging advice. You should be in heaven, said Walker. I can't imagine how she's made you feel, but you should write her off and get the dress that you want to get. Walker left and then returned moments later. Here's my card. You have a single question about your entire wedding? You call me, because this should be the most fun 6 months of your life, and you don't need any of that. I'm serious. Just email, a cup of coffee, whatever you would like. I am more than happy to help. To the distressed bride, who was played by actress Lisa Holton, Walker's reaction was more than just a kind gesture. In her interview, Holton said Walker's behavior was, get ready for this, a saving grace.
Ew.
Ew. What do you mean, ew?
I don't like using church words.
It's
for
a metaphor.
Yeah, I know. But
so there are some people who did interview.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, I don't know if I would have gone as far as they did and take sides. I just think that causing a disturbance to the point where it makes other people feel uncomfortable. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're arguing about. Just because, she wants this dress and she should have her own, you know, choice because it's her wedding and she's marrying the person she loves. That doesn't necessarily jive with me any more than the mother having her way or anything like that. I just think that they, as far as your question about whether someone should intervene, I think if there's verbal abuse going on and everything else and it's causing a disturbance to the point where it's bothering me and my family and our shopping, I think, you know, that would be what I would say something, you know.
Well, the way this is set up, and there are a lot of examples here, but I can't read them all. It would take the whole hour.
Sure.
There's an example here of where they used a different actress, a quote-unquote plus-size actress, and the momzilla says, oh, gosh, I think this dress looks terrible on you, just terrible. Why? Because you look fat in this dress, that's why. This is going on in the store as it's being staged by these actors. And then there is a description here of a person who comes to the defense of this obviously distressed bride. True or false? Christians have an obligation to defend this person in this public display.
I'm trying to avoid the answer that you don't...
You want an option besides true and false?
I'm trying to avoid the answer that you don't want to hear. I think it has to... It really has to depend. And I think that we are called to speak up for those who don't have a voice. I think that can be a very strong witness to both.
You know, maybe I'm not a very assertive person. Maybe I stand in the bridal store just in abject horror at what I'm watching.
Right.
And I just feel so terrible for this young girl who should be having one of the most lovely experiences in all of her life. I just feel terrible about it, but I'm not an assertive person.
Right.
And so, you know, you move on, you go on to another store, and then for a while, you just carry with you the burden of guilt. I should have said something. Is that the Holy Spirit saying, where were you? You were my instrument there to speak to this woman who was behaving badly, and you didn't do it. Is that guilt necessarily divine guilt?
I don't know if it's necessarily divine guilt, but you know, it like I said, it can be an opportunity to witness to somebody, to
what do you say in the name of Jesus, mom, back off?
No, but witnessing by your actions that, you know, is this that, you know, maybe making a comment, is this that big of a deal that you have to berate your own daughter on this? You do have to understand, I think something was said in that article that you were reading that kind of said that you feel bad, you might feel bad for mothers because they're the ones being left behind. The relationship is changing. And in many cases, it's like a death. That's one of the reasons why moms typically cry at the wedding of their daughter, because their relationship is going to be totally different.
Mm-hmm. They're grieving the change.
And I'm not giving moms the go ahead, the green light to go and berate their daughter to tears or anything like that. But here we're, unfortunately, I already know that this is all staged, and so I keep going back to, well, I'd be really upset if I was in there and then found out it was all staged.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because let's imagine that you are in the bridal shop with your wife and your daughter, and you do not have a bridezilla, you do not have a momzilla. Your wife and daughter, they're lovely people, and you're just looking forward, I mean, from the time that you got up in the morning to having just a wonderful dad experience, and now it's pretty much been all ruined because of this episode. And then, after you stand there with your jaw dropped and your own daughter is almost in tears because she can't believe what she's seen, and everybody is emotionally distressed, up walks John Quinones, who is the reporter on this story. ABC News. And you are? Well, I'm Pastor Matt Rowland. Pastor, could you stand over here? We'd like to interview you on your reactions to what you've just seen, because it's all been staged. What's the first thing you're going to tell him?
Oh, I don't know what I would tell him, but I'd be pretty
upset.
Well,
take 10 seconds and think about what you would tell him, because
I would say this was staged.
Yeah. And it's, yes, sir, we're doing research here. You know, I'm a high, influential, powerful member of the media here. We needed to research the societal ramifications of this kind of behavior. Thanks for participating. What are your reactions?
I probably would.
You wouldn't punch him in the nose, would
no,
you?
No, I wouldn't, especially not on
well, that's good.
You know, on TV or anything like that. Yeah. But I'd probably let him know that I was pretty upset that, you know, here our experience was now ruined because of something that was staged. You know, it didn't have to be this way. You know, it might have happened anyway from somebody else that is a momzilla or a bridezilla or something like that. But, you know, now you just you purposely did this, and I wouldn't be very happy with that.
What if I were to be John Quinones and I were to say to you, you know, I listen to that Bible study program every once in a while there on KFUO Radio, Pastor, and I hear you talking from time to time as well, and you guys are forever lamenting the decay, the deterioration of civility in our society, just constantly talking about how modesty and courtesy and all those things seem to be disappearing from our culture. So what we've done here is we've put it on display. We've revealed it and shown it to the world in a laboratory kind of a setting, really demonstrating how despicable it is. And we have elevated the people who's intervened and stuck up for the bride. We would have thought that you'd appreciate that. How would you respond?
I'm uncomfortable with purposely putting something like that together, in the case of okay, you're elevating it, and you're elevating those who intervened, and you're pointing it out and that kind of thing. But in the process, you're actually creating more of a hassle than had to have been.
And, is it dishonest?
I think
so. Is it dishonest?
I think they're playing on people's
emotions. To evoke in other people emotional responses to something that is really not true because it's being staged?
Yeah, I'm kind of uncomfortable with that, yeah.
Is there an eighth commandment issue in there somewhere?
Yeah, perhaps, because if you have...
It's a kind of a, I don't know, maybe I'm stretching this to the breaking point, but it's kind of a false witness. Yeah. They're asking you to react to what is a false witness, because in the end you find out, well, all those things that we were watching there weren't really true.
Well, then if you don't react the way that you're hoping people react, then you have people pointing fingers. Well, you didn't react that way. You should have reacted this way, you know, that kind of thing.
It just makes
me uncomfortable.
Now, here's another setting.
Okay,
another story. Same kind of context here. The headline is, Officer baited in altercation that injured him. This is in Indianapolis. Relations between the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department and some members of the African-American community are still a sore spot in the weeks since the Brandon Johnson incident. Did you hear about this by any chance?
No.
Case in point, an altercation in which an officer was injured during a presentation to a youth symposium that officials said was staged, leading to the suspension of a parks manager and animosity among officers. Sergeant Matthew Grimes was asked to give a presentation to a church audience on July 24th at Municipal Gardens in the 1800 block of Lafayette Road. During the presentation, an altercation broke out in the crowd, and Officer Grimes, Sergeant Grimes, intervened. The officer was thrown to the ground and drew his taser, ready to stun one of the people involved, according to police. At that point, someone stepped in and told the officer that the incident had been concocted to test the reaction of the officer to the situation. Grimes suffered severe back spasms after the incident and was taken to Methodist Hospital for treatment. James Harrington, pastor of the Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, said he set up the scenario to test a white officer's reaction to a fight between two black men. Now remember, this is all in a church setting, youth symposium. Their job is to protect and serve, and even though they have families and children, that they don't put any regard to their safety, Harrington said. I don't think it was dangerous because it was in a controlled environment. That's a quote. Harrington denied that the officer was injured. We are trying to do anything that we can to save the lives of our children, he said. We have to have live demonstrations of violence carried on by professional actors who are trained to do what they do. Willard Gupton, a park manager who police said had advanced knowledge of the plan, was suspended in the wake of the incident. I can basically say we didn't do anything wrong, Gupton said Friday evening. It was simply just trying to make a teachable moment to try and teach young people about violence. What do you think?
So I'm just trying to clarify. He was a white police officer was asked to speak, and then they staged a fight, and he tried to intervene and got thrown to the ground and pulled out his taser.
Yep.
And before he was able to act, they told him it was a staged thing.
Correct. Well, yeah, right in the middle of it.
And he says he was taken to the... Okay.
It's all made up, officer.
Okay.
Don't tase anybody.
And so now they're accusing him of...
They're not accusing him of anything. There seems to be some difference of opinion as to whether or not the sergeant was injured in this fracas.
Okay.
But the pastor is claiming that they didn't do anything wrong here.
Okay.
That you got to do these kinds of staged things in order to create a teachable moment for the youth in their congregation.
And they were trying to teach... He was trying to teach what? I'm not even clear of what he's trying to teach.
Well,
he's trying to teach that they shouldn't fight.
Now you're asking me for my opinion.
Well, okay, I know, but I'm just trying to clarify what we're.
You have to ask yourself
discussing here.
What would have happened if the officer had, for some reason, not used his training and responded inappropriately. What would have been learned if that had happened? But we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Bible Study, and Pastor Matt Roglin is with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Dale Meyer. This October 2nd through 5th, Diane and I will welcome Luther Hostel to the campus of Concordia Seminary. Luther Hostel is designed for adults 55 and over to experience 3 days of fun, fellowship, and learning. Dr. Paul Meyer will be this year's feature presenter, October 2nd through 5th, with an optional trip to Perry County, October 6th. Call 314-505-7486 or visit csl.edu.
Here's an invitation for all you stargazers out there. Join members of the St. Louis Astronomical Society and the National Park Service for a night of stargazing on the grounds of the Gateway Arch. The evening begins with a presentation inside the arch in the Tucker or Odyssey Theater, followed by the telescope viewing, weather permitting. The date of the event is August 19th. The presentation begins at 8, and the telescope viewing will be from 9 until 10:30. That's at the Gateway Arch.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It was a fun evening for my wife, Ellen, and me, as well as the film crew. Our weekly pro-life television program, Facing Life Head On, received a regional Emmy Award. The National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences honored us for being what they call the best of the best in the category of interview and discussion. It's a celebrated first for the pro-life movement, receiving an accolade at this level by the media industry. Of course, we give the glory to God. It's His ministry. You can watch the episode that earned us the Emmy. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. I thank God for the privilege of interviewing guests who faced life's most challenging moments and inspired our viewers with an understanding of the sacredness of life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Some people think that saving faith occurs when you choose to have faith. Others believe that the faith which saves is having pure doctrine. Then there are those who think saving faith means you believe in God, just any God. On the next Law and Gospel, we will examine the chapter all about faith, authored by God Himself, to discover His understanding of whether or not you have saving faith.
Weekdays at 6 on KFUO Radio.
If you'd like to generate some enthusiasm for your next church or school event, be sure and tell us about it here at KFUO Radio. It's a datebook event, whether it's a concert, barbecue, or seminar, and we'll promote it for you following weather at the top of each hour during the broadcast day. Send your datebook event to dsummers@kfuo.org, and then we'll give you a plug on the air. Generate some excitement about your next event through KFUO Radio.
Some people think that saving faith occurs when you choose to have faith. Others believe that the faith which saves is having pure doctrine. Then there are those who think saving faith means you believe in God, just any God. On the next Law and Gospel, we will examine the chapter all about faith, authored by God Himself, to discover His understanding of whether or not you have saving faith.
Weekdays at 6 on KFUO Radio.
If you'd like to generate some enthusiasm for your next church or school event, be sure and tell us about it here at KFUO Radio. It's a datebook event, whether it's a concert, barbecue, or seminar, and we'll promote it for you following weather at the top of each hour during the broadcast day. Send your datebook event to dsummers@kfuo.org, and then we'll give you a plug on the air. Generate some excitement about your next event through KFUO Radio.
You're listening to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathard. Pastor Matt Roglin is here today from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant. They are on the radio on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, live worship. with our friends at Blessed Savior. If you'd like to join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We brought to the table today discussion about two separate incidents. One is sort of on the secular side of the equation, where ABC News and reporter John Quinones went about the business of staging conflict between over-energized moms and daughters in a bridal shop, and then sort of watching the... It's like candid camera almost, except it's not funny. Watching the reactions of people in the store who are affected by being exposed to this. And now a story out of Indianapolis that we were just talking about, in which case the pastor, James Harrington, of the Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church set up a youth symposium where they invited a Caucasian officer, police officer, a sergeant actually, to address this group. And then they staged a fight between a couple of African-American young people and sort of tested the officer without his knowledge as to how he would respond. Now, you weren't very happy about taking advantage of the folks there in the bridal shop. How do you feel about this?
I'm not happy with this either. I was misunderstanding before the break. I thought the article was trying to insinuate that the officer had in fact acted inappropriately, and was clarified to me that it was that he actually acted very appropriately and maybe even got injured in the middle of it. But the whole staging thing is not only unlike what the pastor said, very dangerous. It's also very inappropriate. You know, what is the point of causing turmoil in our... I mean, what if he had acted inappropriately on impulse or you know, just forgot his training or whatever? This thing would have really blown up, and all for the sake of a test, a staged thing, and I think that's manipulating people, and it's very, very inappropriate, especially for somebody from the church to do this.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say especially?
Well,
because if it's somebody from the church,
you know, the church is responsibility is to preach the gospel and to share the love of Jesus, not to stir up trouble in the community. The church should be all about bringing people together under Christ, not just under, you know, let's just all get together and like each other or that kind of thing. But it should not be trying to tear down any relationships, you know, if he had acted in any way inappropriately, this very likely, this was a youth symposium there. What are we teaching our youth? Not to trust police officers? Because this particular person acted inappropriately in a staged thing? You know, and it might not have even been that he acted inappropriately, but there was some kind of a consequence because of him intervening that could be looked at as inappropriate. If somebody on the other side had gotten injured, even though he wasn't intending to injure somebody, I mean, there's accidents happen all the time, and especially in a fight, sometimes all the training in the world isn't going to prevent somebody from getting hurt.
What if I were to make an argument that sounded something like this? Well, in the first case, you're in the bridal shop, and you've got the princess and the queen, and you know, they're spending too much money on what is really just a dress after all. That's a reflection of our culture and how we've lost our sense of values, and we think that who picks what about the dress is so important that we would actually get into serious conflict over it, which, as we pointed out in the article, the owner of the bridal shop says happens about once a week in his store. Well, that's all really disgraceful from any perspective, and I think most of us can agree with that. But in the second case, we're talking about something that's real, and more serious.
Yeah.
And that's racism in America.
Yes.
And racism is a cultural discussion that's going on right now in this country. It's come to the forefront. It may be true, Pastor, I don't know, it may be true that the members of the African-American Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church can't get the gospel message out because of oppression, because of racism in their own community. It may be true that they feel intimidated about going out to share the gospel because the police are perceived as being oppressive and racist. And therefore, it's time to stage a little thing here to test whether or not those things are true. Because we can't stop the gospel, Pastor. If that is a problem, then we got to expose it. What if I were to make that argument?
It's not the job of the church to prove or disprove theories about the police in an area. You know, one could say, well, you know, this, if they're trying to get rid of the thought that there's an oppressive police force, racist police force or something like that, then they actually eliminated that racism, because now here it is proven that this guy did act very appropriately. But that only shows that that particular person is acted appropriately. This is not the job of the church, nor the method by which the church should be working this out. You know, as a community leader, I would think this pastor should be trying to find ways to work together with the police force to make sure that there is not the racism or the impression that there's racism going on, to stage something to prove a point is not the right method.
Let's pretend for a moment that the officer, Sergeant Matthew Grimes, is a member of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, and he is injured. There's one group that denies that he was injured, but apparently he was taken to the Methodist hospital for treatment, and he's got back injury. Now he comes to you and he says, I think what they did was wrong. I think what they did was illegal in a civil sense, and I'm going to sue the church for damages. Would you say, Officer Grimes, I agree with you, go for it, what they did was wrong? Or would you say, Officer Grimes, your duty is to turn the other cheek? In spite of the fact that you were injured, the Christian thing to do here, particularly since the apparent offender is a church, you need to turn the other cheek. What would you say?
Well, no matter what, I would agree and say that they were wrong in what they did. But I don't think that his job is to sue their church either.
I know it's not his job, but it's his option.
I believe legally it is his option. I don't think that it's the best option. I guess I would seek to find other methods to work out some kind of reconciliation between that police officer who was a member of, if he was a member of my church, and this church, where they could sit down and maybe do what they should have done in the first place, which is discuss this stuff instead of staging fights and pretending we're inviting you here to speak, and point of fact we're using you as an object lesson. But actually sit down and discuss this kind of thing. I don't think that it would be inappropriate for the church, having been shown that they acted inappropriately, paying for his medical bills or those kinds of things, but to go...
I didn't think they did anything wrong.
They don't think they did anything wrong.
Does that enter into your evaluation of the situation?
But going in and suing them isn't going to get them to believe that they did anything wrong either. It may get them to believe that the legal system agrees that they did something wrong, but that still isn't going to convince them. And now we've got more of a problem because they will say, well, see, the whole system's oppressive. They're just against us because of whatever. There's racism.
Well, you know, we've got Romans 13 tells us that God gives us the government to protect people against this kind of abuse. The laws are the laws, and the laws are designed to exact punishment from people who do these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in a civil setting, you'd have to convince a jury that what was done was wrong and worthy of some kind of restitution. Does it matter to you, Pastor, whether or not, I mean, again, in our hypothetical situation, Sergeant Grimes is a member of your church, and he's coming to you, and he's thinking he wants to sue, but he wants to hear what his pastor has to say about this. Does it matter to you whether or not the pastor of the allegedly offending congregation is impenitent? If the pastor who set this scenario up says, you know what, you're right, it was dumb. You know, I could go further down here in this article. There's a lot of people who think this was dumb. And if he says, yeah, that was wrong, we'll never do that again, and we're so sorry that you're injured, rest assured that we realize the error of our intent here and we won't do this again. Or he says, no, we got to show our young people, you know, we got to teach them what it's like to be African Americans in the Indianapolis community and dealing with officers, and you know, and we might do it again. Does that matter to you and your counsel to the sergeant?
I think it would make a difference in, I mean, he probably would be less wanting to sue if they were apologetic. I think he'd be more wanting to get restitution and that kind of thing by them being defiantly, you know, we're fine, we didn't do anything wrong, that kind of thing. But I think, I always think that the best first move is to try and work things out, not to jump to you know, suing or any other kind of thing, because in a sense, going and suing is adding insult to injury too.
The one thing you know for sure is you are literally taking your brother before the court, because this is a church.
Exactly, and you're causing more strife between when you have the racial issue going on here. You have a potential of making this whole thing a whole lot worse by jumping to suing.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Jan, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck, Pastor Roglin.
Good morning.
I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and following, and I think it speaks to this issue. Basically, it says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. That's verse 9. But verse 11, but now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. We are the church when we are in Christ. And when we do something in the name of, you know, social ministry or black national whatever, like you said earlier, Pastor, the church's function is to preach Christ and Him crucified. And we can expect on a civil level to be disciplined when we don't do that. And here's something else. I've been focused a lot on this proverb, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Can you expand on either one of these passages? I don't remember. I remember reading it in Proverbs, but I just like your thoughts on that.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Is that what you said?
Yes.
And in the other passage?
Is 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and following.
All right. Thanks for the call. Pastor, mm-hmm. any comments?
Well, I would agree if I'm getting what Jan is saying about 1 Corinthians 5, I would agree that this church isn't behaving in the proper way of a church, and therefore this was inappropriate, and I think that's what she was trying to underscore. What I had said is the church's responsibility is to preach Christ and Him crucified. But again, and just adding in what we've been talking about since then, that still doesn't mean that my advice to this guy, hypothetically being a member, would be any different. Going and telling him to jump into a lawsuit, you know, I think would be inappropriate.
Well, you know,
from the
I know, Pastor, that
thing.
You would never. They're in the pastor that I know
that would tell somebody to
that
go
would
sue
say,
somebody.
Yeah, you know, you need me as a witness on. No, every pastor I know would.
On the other
encourage
hand,
caution.
Exactly. On the other hand, I wouldn't, you know, if he decided to sue or something like that, I wouldn't necessarily excommunicate him. But if he was coming for me for advice, I would say, why don't we do this another way? Can we meet together with this pastor? Can we have a discussion? Let's work together.
Now,
Jan had another passage, and I'm not really specifically familiar with what that passage
I'm not
was.
Either.
So,
but I think if the passage "Faithful are the wounds of a friend" is meant to suggest that when we're injured and we turn the other cheek, we bear those wounds without retaliating, perhaps there is faithfulness
right.
generated or.
And that's kind of what I was trying to say with if this person was a member, what a strong witness it would be if he didn't jump. I mean, if he had a bunch of lawyers telling him he should go ahead and sue these people and whatever, and he's coming to the pastor, and the pastor says, no, wait, let's slow down, let's go talk with him. Let's work this thing out. What a witness to everybody this would be if they work this whole thing out.
Is it wrong, Pastor, in this hypothetical situation where I have created Sergeant Matthew Grimes as a member of your church? You are his shepherd. You are his pastor. And you have already said that you would certainly not counsel him to, you know, yeah, here's a list of attorneys. Let's find one and we'll file by tomorrow. You counsel caution, but suppose you were to say to him, you know, Matt, maybe you ought to think about turning the other cheek here. Just write it off. You know, we'll pray for you in church on Sunday. We hope your back gets better. But taking your brother to court, that's not the way to go here. And so the guy doesn't do anything. Here is a public violation, arguably a breaking of the law, since there was violence involved and he did get injured in that violence, staged or not, and you counsel him, forget about it. Forgive and forget. Let's move on. And so the people who caused this unfortunate outcome go completely unpunished. Is that God's will?
Well, it may be at that after a point, but I think the first thing would be to try and meet with them and maybe in Christian love be able to resolve this issue, and then all parties who saw this, who witnessed this, who've heard about this, who've discussed this, learn how Christians can work together and not be always fighting and not always disagreeing in that case. Now, if you go to your brother and he doesn't want to hear anything of it, and they go to this congregation and they don't even want to talk about the possibility that they did something wrong, well, maybe eventually you do have to just, you know, turn the other cheek.
Before we run out of time here, I want to ask you about this park manager. His name is Willard Gupton. Apparently, Willard wasn't at the event. He just knew about it. He had prior knowledge to the fact that this was going on. And because of that, he has been suspended from his job. He is quoted as saying, "I can basically say we didn't do anything wrong." So it appears that he is not penitent about this unfortunate outcome. He's a passive presence in this matter. He had knowledge. What should he have done, Pastor, when the pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church said, "We're going to stage this thing, he knows about it"? What should he have done?
I guess I would have said, that's not a good idea. And I would have, if I were he, I would have told them to explain to the sergeant what they were doing beforehand.
Tip off the police? Tip off the sergeant?
I'm not saying that I would have done it. I would have said, "You need to tell him what you're doing, or I'm going to tell him," so that he knows what he's walking into. And because I mean, this guy, he prepared some kind of a speech and thinks he's going in to make a presentation, and he's just an object lesson. This is not how the church is to be acting, and I think as a public official, this park supervisor, I don't remember what his title
manager,
is.
Park manager.
Had the responsibility to. I mean, was this going on? This was going on in the park then, you know, that, or he just happened to know about it? It was happening at a church.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I just think it, you know, he had the responsibility to.
It says that the presentation was made to a church audience in municipal gardens.
Okay, so it was probably under his jurisdiction of some sort. And, you know, he obviously the city feels that he's responsible, because even though he wasn't there, because this is under his jurisdiction, under his watch, and he knew about it, and he didn't he let a police officer go into the lion's den. And, you know,
it's reckless.
It's reckless, yeah. That's very.
So, Mr. Gupton, how much responsibility does he bear in the eyes of God? Do the scriptures have anything to say about passive presence when there's wrongdoing? Failure to alert the police, failure to do what you said, either you're going to call him and tell him what you're doing, or I'm going to call him.
Well, we talk in theology about sins of commission and sins of omission.
Yeah.
Sins of commission, the ones we commit, the ones that where we weren't supposed to do this and we did it. But then there's also sins of omission, where we should have spoken up, we should have done something, and we didn't. And I would say he's under that. You know, he should have spoken up. He should have said something.
All right. Not easy stuff, I know.
No.
Not easy stuff. There wasn't a black and white yes or no easy answer in the whole thing, was there?
No.
Yeah.
But you still were easier on me.
But
than
now you got
Pastor
the vicar.
Rawl,
you can
so.
You can take the vicar. You say, "Okay, take the rest of the day. I'm going home because I'm all worn out." And then let the vicar work. That's probably not going to happen.
Like I said, you were easier on me than Pastor Rawl. So hey,
Pastor John Lukowski tomorrow in Deuteronomy. Hope you can join us then.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.